The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. However you take it, as in, we appreciate it. We are truly grateful, not just something I say haphazardly.
Mm-hmm.
Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, still to come. Are we sure? Going to do a little version of Are We Sure coming up. We haven't done that in a while, it feels like. Though someone might tell me, no, actually, you did it last week, Gil. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd believe them.
Yeah. By the way, numbers game brought to you by ProfitX. We will also have Fezzik here for Fezzik Fridays. Usually I would read tweets here, but as we just sort of determined off air, got a lot to talk about with this gentleman here because we actually want to get to actual baseball, but we must cover ABS with him. It's Joe Sheehan, everybody, kind enough to join us this morning. The Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, available at joesheehan.com. You can follow Joe on Twitter at joe_Sheehan. Joe, good morning to you.
Morning, Gil. What's going on?
How you doing? Well, you set it off air. Every hit you've done, anybody wants to talk about is the ABS system. You were here opening day. Actually, we had the one game played the previous night, I think, and then you were here opening day last week. So we'll get into some of your actual baseball thoughts team wise here momentarily. But what about ABS? Your reaction, I'll just leave it open ended for you.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty popular. MLB has tested this in the minor leagues for a long time now, so they had a pretty good sense of how it's going to go. But you don't know when you test in the minor leagues, guys, the outcomes just don't matter. And I think the ABS is just part of the entertainment value. Oh, let's all look up at the screen and see if the umpire got it right or wrong. And I think when the games, the pitches, the challenges have a little more importance to people, it's a little bit different. And we've seen, you know, a lot of overturns. The rate is only about 53%, I want to say. MLB keeps a great these numbers. They track these numbers for players, for pitchers, for catchers, for hitters. So the overturn rate's only about half. But think about it. If you get two wrong challenges a game, that's four. If you get four of them right, that's eight. Like, you're talking about a lot of challenges. And if you get a situation where the umpire is missing a lot of pitches, we saw C.B. Bucknor, we saw, I believe it was opening, Mike Estabrook with in the Yankee game.
Yes.
You can see a lot of challenges happen. It becomes a big part of the experience.
Do you think the fans will enjoy this as much as the summer wears on?
I do think the production of it is a little bit overdone. I wrote yesterday, like, I'm a little sick of that T-Mobile pink. And every time we have a challenge, the umpire, we're challenging this call and we all look at the scoreboard and it's a 15-second production when really all it needs to be is they buzz down to the umpire and say ball or strike and we move on. I think that's gotten a little old for me already. In fairness, I watch a lot of baseball. I think if you're new to it, I think if you're somebody who goes to a game once a week, once a month, it's not going to get as old. MLB, I think, would prefer to keep the system. The players are strong advocates of this system as opposed to a full ABS because they want to keep a certain amount of control. And let's not forget, guys, most of the union, a majority of the union, is pitchers and catchers. And they all want to keep framing in the game. So this keeps an element of framing in the game. So I think there's a lot of inertia once you have this system in place to keep it in place.
Yeah, keeps framing in the game in the sense that there's a limited amount of challenges, you mean? That framing can actually still, because if they did it, if it was carte blanche to do it, framing would disappear entirely, right?
Exactly. All you would be worried about is where did the ball cross the plate. You still have an element of, because hitters are at risk. I mean, I've seen, if anything, I think hitters are probably not challenging enough. There have been a lot of calls. You look at the pitch and go, oh, you got to challenge that. And they don't because there's the scarcity to it. If you blow a challenge, that's costly. If you blow a challenge in the third inning, if you blow a challenge with nobody on and two outs, that's something you don't have later in a higher leverage spot.
Absolutely. For San Francisco Giants fans like myself, with Patrick Bailey behind home plate, we love framing, that's for sure. Okay, what about baseball in general? Let's go to the actual game itself. Your one-week reactions, and I'll phrase it like this. Give me the team or teams that you're looking at that you're like, oh, wow, that could be a thing. Obviously, we don't want to overreact to too small of a sample size, but that has raised an eyebrow either to the good or bad that you didn't necessarily expect to see at this point.
Yeah, I think you want to be careful because schedule affects a lot of it, right? The Marlins are 5-1, but they basically played a minor league rehab schedule, playing the Rockies and the White Sox. So I do think their offense has been interesting. You know, Liam Hicks has taken a step forward. They've got some of these like older veterans, a young players who haven't played a whole lot, Griffin Conine, Graham Pauly, who might be able to build an offense out of. So I think there might be something there. I'm looking at them as a team that I might have been a little bit low on in the spring. And then, at the other side, the Red Sox haven't hit for a week. And I have the Red Sox as the best team in the American League this year. And if they're not going to hit, there's not really a path for them. We'll see them go up against Michael King this afternoon. Maybe they can get it going. So at the extremes, the 5-1 Marlins, the 1-5 Red Sox.
Yeah, although the Blue Jays would probably take issue, right? They'd be like, oh, we're having trouble beating the Rockies. So maybe they're not horrific, I guess. Dodgers, the best of the bunch, though, no matter what. You still think that team is head and shoulders above?
I would be surprised if at any point during the season I didn't think the Dodgers were the worst team. Now, we've seen them have pitching injuries in previous seasons, but they've built in so much depth, guys, both offensively and on the pitching staff, that even their next tier down, when they've got to go to some of those backup pitchers and seventh, eighth, ninth starters or some of the hitters they're going to have to go to, I still think they're going to be fine. There's not really a great number two in that division. We talked in the preseason about the Diamondbacks. And I said, the Diamondbacks' upside overlaps with the Dodgers' downside, and I still believe it, but I also believe there's only about a 4-5% chance that that happens. So the Dodgers have built a great team. I would love to see a scenario, guys, where they went and tried to win 120 games, because I think they could do it. But with the current set of rules, all they've got to do is win their 98 to 100 games and be ready for the playoffs.
I'm with you. I'd love to see a team just go all out for something like that. We all remember the Mariners in 2000. It was just so awesome to watch, even though they didn't get to the World Series. Right. But it was just so great to great. 2000 or 2001? Did I have their year wrong?
2001. 2001. The Yankees a couple years before that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What about today? What did you land on today?
I mentioned the Marlins earlier and all those left-handed hitters. They play in the Yankees home opener today over in the Bronx. And I like them against Will Warren today. They're plus 150 at FanDuel. Will Warren really established himself last year, 31 starts, but he struggled against left-handers, 350 OBP, just less than a 2-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. The Marlins are going to run six lefties at him today. And more importantly, they got Yuri Perez on the mound. And I've got Yuri Perez actually as a potential Cy Young candidate. Stepped up last year, finally healthy, was dominant down the stretch. I like him to take on the Yankees today. I think the Marlins will score 3-4 runs, and that's going to be plenty.
Plus 150 on the Marlins today, this afternoon in the Bronx. And then speaking of the Dodgers, which I spoke of earlier, which we spoke of, you want to play them a certain way today.
Yeah, I got burned on opening day with the Nationals bullpen. I like the Cubs team total over, and the Nationals bullpen came out and threw 5 1/3 innings of one run ball. And I don't think they've gotten an out since. We saw them blow up against the Phillies on Wednesday afternoon. I'm fading them all year long. They're 29th right now in Fangraphs WAR. The Pirates bullpen has actually been worse. Plus, you've got Miles Mikolas on the mound. He's one of the worst starters in baseball. Give me the Dodgers team total over. I got it as low as -130 at 5.5. I think that was also at FanDuel. If you want to go to 6.5 at plus money, I think that's actually a good play as well. This Dodger offense is one of the best in the game, and this matchup with the Nationals, Mikolas followed by that bullpen, is about as bad as it gets in baseball.
Brutality. Okay, let me ask you a question. Connor Griffin famously coming up now for the Bucks, for the Pirates, the most touted of all rookies, number one MLB prospect. Obviously, we have rookies strewn throughout Major League Baseball that have a lot of teams very excited. Do you have a thought in terms of your observation, in terms of Rookie of the Year at this point, the all too early thoughts about Rookie of the Year or any other award category at this point?
Well, my pick for Rookie of the Year in the NL was J.J. Weatherholt, and I still think that's a pretty solid selection. He's going to play second base. He had a big hit the other day to win the game for them. It's a very deep field. As far as betting is concerned, at the time I gave out Owen Casey of the Marlins, it's a Marlins theme today, I guess. He was 40-1 at the time, and I'm seeing on your screen now he's actually down to 16-1. I think he's going to play a lot. I think he's going to hit really, really good context numbers, runs and RBIs. That's the kind of thing that can help win you a Rookie of the Year award. So, Casey and Weatherholt are the two guys I'm looking at. The interesting thing about the call-up of Griffin, guys, is that he had a couple of big home runs early in the spring, and that got him a lot of attention. He had a two-homer game against the Red Sox. And after that, he didn't hit well at all. He had a 13-2 strikeout-to-walk ratio, which, in the Grapefruit League is pretty bad. I thought it made plenty of sense for the Pirates to send him down. He did not look ready. I'm a little surprised they're calling him up. Now, he was incredible in five games of AAA. He did hit very well at 400 with walks and power, four walks and four strikeouts. And anytime you see a 20-year-old player, he's technically still 19 for a couple of weeks. Having an even strikeout to walk ratio at AAA, that's an excellent sign. But I don't think he's as guaranteed to hit the ground running as a J.J. Weatherholt, as Kevin McGonigal has shown in Detroit. I think he's a little bit behind them. And again, guys, he's 19 years old today. He turns 20, I want to say on the 24th. He's the first teenager to play in the majors since Elvis Luciano, a reliever with the Blue Jays a few years back. He's the first teenage hitter since Juan Soto. And you go back, teenage hitters have an incredible track record. The simple fact of reaching the major leagues as a teenager marks you as a potential Hall of Famer. If you just know that one thing, just give me a list of guys who batted in the majors at 19 or younger. That's a list of guys who went on to have great careers.
Andrew Jones of the Braves leaps to mind in my head among those. Last thing, Joe Pita and I were texting the other day. I know you're familiar with Joe. Joe is in addition to being a great baseball handicapper, he's a lifelong Phillies fan. And right before the Phillies mounted a comeback the other day, he reverse jinxed him. But he said, he goes, I don't know, Gil, he says, these bats look old. He says, I don't care if it's Wheeler or Sanchez or whoever. They don't look that. It looks like they kind of all got old together. Not all of them, but several of them. You agree with that general directional statement?
I do. I've been down on the Phillies coming into this year because of that core of Turner, Schwarber, and Harper, who are all 33 this year. And then, of course, you know, the rest of the roster has been a problem for them for a while. They've been top-heavy. You look at the Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott, JT Realmuto group. It's just not a good hitting team. So they're really going to have to be carried by that rotation and that bullpen this year. It is a more run prevention team than run scoring team at this point.
God, Bryce Harper is 33. My goodness. Yeah. Joe, enjoy the full day of baseball. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Gilly.
Joe Sheehan, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back, Are We Sure? Next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game brought to you by ProfitX. If you're not on ProfitX yet, Masters Week is the perfect time to start. New users get a sign-up bonus of up to $100 in bonus cash. Up to $100 in bonus cash just for getting started with promo code VSiNMM. MM as in March Madness. And next week, ProfitX is dropping their Masters of Your Domain contest. During the Masters, make one play of $50 or more, pardon me. Make one play of $50 or more on any Masters market, win or lose, and earn an entry to win a $1,000 golf prize of your choice. You can pick from a $1,000 round of golf, a $1,000 club of your choice, a $1,000 gift card, any golf apparel brand, any of those. Win or lose on your play, you're still in the running. Download the ProfitX app, use promo code VSiNMM, make your first purchase, earn that bonus, and get in on the action at Augusta. Download ProfitX today and use promo code VSiNMM. Yes, sir. You look pensive.
No, they were just showing a hospitality area again at the Valero Texas Open. So I was wondering where Jordan Spieth hit it to this time, because he found another forest while you were talking to Joe Sheehan.
By pensive, it means you're watching golf. I see. Brendan S., for what it's worth, if there was ever a wind blowing out, Comerica Park has it today. Although I'm in Canada, I'm only about 2 miles away from the stadium, and that wind is going to be howling out to left field today. Do with that what you may. There you go. Thank you for that, Brendan S. across the border, but still knows the wind patterns at Comerica report. I like that.
How long does it get? How long does it take you to get through the border, Canada, U.S.? And has it gotten worse recently? Probably has, but
probably worse since the pandemic. Maybe
it's a quick drive through, though, right?
Yeah. It's not like you're.
It's not. I thought it was 2 miles from the border.
It's not like other borders in other parts.
I feel like I'd be hopping back and forth all the time.
3,000 miles. Never a shot fired of border. Jeffrey S. DeVore. Blondie, Rapture, Deborah Harry rapping Fab Five Freddy, as I mentioned, the oldest of the old school. Yeah, when the show 2020, when the ABC News Magazine 2020, when Hugh Downs was the host in the early 80s, did their first ever segment on hip-hop, which Hugh Downs referred to as, it's called rap, and they're not singing, they're talking. That was the kind of report it was. That was the song, the Deborah Harry, Blondie, rapping about Fab Five Freddy on Rapture was the song that they highlighted. Colin Murphy. Aha. Kelly nailed it, looking for validation. I don't know what that refers to. Not sure. What was that referring to, Kelly? Do you know?
Me either.
Oh.
You responded to it.
Yeah?
Huh?
You responded to it. You said, hey, I feel you, man. You know it.
Oh. With Colin. Yeah.
Oh.
Just him talking about the clutch player. Of just he obviously didn't like my answer yesterday, so he was tweeting it for you to answer.
The real JT. Love the show. Still alive in Survivor with UConn, Michigan. Of 32 entrants with this combination, what percent would you guess go UConn Saturday, Michigan Monday versus the opposite? Well, the real JT, this is exactly what I'm dealing with in mine, which is I think most people towards the top, right? Let's talk top 10-ish. I think if you're in eighth place, you're going to play it the conservative way. You're going to play, in your example, they're going to play it UConn Saturday, Michigan Monday. Just like with mine, the conservative way to play it is with the teams I have available, UConn Saturday, Arizona Monday. And I think people in top 10 think that they're going to incrementally advance doing that and may get to the promised land. But if you're back where we are, 30th or 32nd, I'm not sure we can do that. And so to answer your question about percentages, I think a much higher percentage will play it the conservative way, meaning saving the Michigan or Arizona part of that for Monday night. That's my guess. That's my guess on Survivors. Let me do a couple more here. One more. This is from, James Fessler. NBA script writers got lazy. San Antonio Padres win another tough road game to remain two games behind the Oklahoma City Dodgers, who are chasing their second straight title. Do you think Raptors fans are already afraid of a finals game 7?
James, I laughed. I was laughing coming back from break two segments ago reading that.
He's talking about the Padres never could get within two games of the Dodgers. He's saying the same thing of the Spurs.
It's been the same thing. It's wild.
Yeah.
Great goal.
Let's see here. Darren Frazier, am I the only person who plays Tankapalooza using a few alternate spreads? No, you don't. You're not the only one. Like maybe two or three of a five-legger, especially if Charlotte's involved. Sometimes it pays off big time. Others, not so much. But I'm well ahead of the game so far. Let's go. Good for you. We're not well ahead of the game. We're just doing it. Gil, your show is the bomb, he says. Go for it on Survivor. Most will go UC Arizona, so go Arizona UC. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, Barry. That's how I'm doing it. I'm probably going to go with Arizona first and then Connecticut on Monday because that's the only way I can catapult forward. For the whole ball of wax, buddy, I play like you and won 3 out of 10 Survivor pools, 42K in ours. Four with, and he goes through details of a Survivor pool.
I like that Gil edited that part of that tweet. It's fine, man.
No,
Kelly's all right.
He said Kelly's all right, and I edited that out. I didn't think that was nice to Kelly, so I edited it out. I was trying to be nice.
No, you were. It was nice.
Ben Bolt, framing remains important because you can still steal a strike, at least initially, and force the hitter's hand. You can still steal strikes, especially early in games. Well, Ben, that was we understand that. The point was is that because of the limitations on challenges, framing still becomes part of the game. Had they just done blanket, you can challenge till the cows come home, framing would essentially be eliminated from the game of baseball. And Rula, can't find a number on Daniel Susak, NL Rookie of the Year. Yeah, Daniel Susak, you see this with the Giants last night? What, he had 3 hits? His family was going crazy in his major league debut the ballpark last night. It was awesome. Real quick before we get to... Oh, no, let's do it. Are we sure? Because I want to save that.
I want to do the NBA conversation. Should we do it here?
I was just going to say, do we do this before Are We Sure? Just real quick. I just have one question.
No, let's do it. It's more important to talk about. Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the seeding. Do the Nuggets care if they play... Because now with Luka out, the Nuggets could essentially get to the 3 seed, meaning they would play San Antonio in the conference semis as opposed to playing the Thunder as a 4 seed in the conference semis. More importantly, Cleveland, I think.
Yes,
right?
Much more. Yeah.
Cleveland has Cade Cunningham and the Pistons if Cade is ready to go by the conference semis, which I think the latest I heard is he is. But would Cleveland be incentivized still on the off chance that Cade can't go to lose games here at the end so that they remain behind the Knicks, that they stay in the 4 seed so that in a conference semi situation, they would get the Pistons? Because right now, if they got too frisky and the Knicks lost, they would end up playing the Celtics in a conference semis. And I say all those questions, but I preface it by saying what I've always said about this on this show is we tend to make too much about how these teams care about seeding. Do we hear? are we here making too much about seeding?
I love having this conversation with you because you have said that so many times. I have been meaning to bring this up with you for the past couple of days, so I'm glad you did today.
It needs to be brought up once.
Well, it needs to be brought up, and I've heard it so much the past few days now. We're like, the Cavs need to do this. They need to do this. And it's just, I always hear Gil's voice in my head. I'm like, every time we say this, we so rarely ever see it. I mean, look, if I was in charge, yeah. We talk about tanking on a daily basis in the NBA. What?
They might care the last game or two of the season, the last weekend. I don't think they cared now. I just don't.
I mean, 100% though, Gil. You're talking about... Okay, let's go back to Kate Cunningham. We did get a report yesterday on Kate, but this is... He will be out at least a week more, is what they're saying. The wording is important. I got a couple tweets about this, like, hey, should we be loading up on Detroit Pistons futures now? He's going to be back in a week. No. At least a week. At least a week is different. And this is a long...
And that's kind of consistent with what it was immediately said... When his lung collapsed, let's remember what we're dealing with here with Cade. Remember, at first it was like, oh, he's got a back problem. No, he had a partially collapsed lung. Not fully collapsed, I might add. Partially collapsed. But they said he'll probably be he might be back for the first round of the playoffs, but maybe not. And that's kind of consistent with what it is now.
No, it is. And this is kind of like, I don't want to say this is exactly how it's going to go with Cade, but we kind of have an idea from looking at past injuries. Like, it's going to be a week. He's going to be reevaluated by the medical team, and then he's going to get cleared for on-court activities and practices. There's going to be a ramp-up period too. So just, I think, be a little careful with that. It is out at least another week is the wording. So I think that at least part is very important.
So your conclusion is?
But my conclusion is, like, of course you would rather have the route of playing, if you're the Cavs, playing the Atlanta Hawks with home court and then Detroit or whoever.
Well, we think it's the Hawks. We don't know.
Right. Could be Sixers or Raptors. It's probably going to be Hawks, though, at this point.
Right, but it's even if we don't know a play. We don't know what a play-in produces, in other words, in the first round. Oh, no, I got that wrong.
Yeah, this is the 4-5. This is the 4-5. Yeah,
okay.
They're a game and a half up on Sixers. So you're right, though. It still could change.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, I think I'd for sure rather play Atlanta with home court advantage in the first round, and then you're playing the winner of 1-8, which is, okay, I mean, I've regularly cautioned, right, if it's Pistons, Hornets, and you still have a Cade Cunningham not back yet, like, I'm probably betting the Hornets in that first round. But yeah, regardless, you'd still rather have that route. I would.
Yeah, but
then
I
have to go play either Boston or you.
Right, but six games left ain't one game left. If there's one game left, I'm like, you're right. They probably sit players tonight. They just lose the
game.
I'm
not saying they will. Again, I'm not saying any of this is actually going to happen, but if I was in charge, I would.
If we were in charge, but we always say this. With seeding, we always overrate it as content folks. We always overrate that. We will get to Are We Sure? We will get to Steve Fezzik, who's going to join us as well for Fezzik Fridays. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you tired of cappers lying about their record? Juice Reel just dropped an update that makes that impossible. No more lying about records. Connect your sportsbooks directly into Juice Reel and instantly get in-depth analytics on your own betting, plus access to what the very best bettors on the platform have their money on. If you're the sharp bettor and others follow your bets, you'll get paid for helping the community win. The days of cappers faking their profits are over. Tail proven winners on Juice Reel. Download it now. That's juice like orange juice. Always appreciate the clarification. Reel, R-E-E-L.
Like a fishing reel.
That's Juice Reel. Thank you. Thank you so much for that clarification, as always. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. Circa Sports, Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas.
Hey, I got one more for you. Yes. And our great guest that's standing by could weigh in on this too. But I think after the Cavs, the next one after last night, it's Minnesota. The sixth seed is looking real good for you right now. Real good. Because we'll get more details after MRI. It looked like pretty classic hamstring last night with Luka. It could be a couple weeks here, minimum. And right now, you'd love to play the Lakers in the first round, I think, if you're any one of these teams out west.
Right, but they're slave to where the Lakers end up.
Correct.
So they'd be having to conceivably by this conversation follow what they're doing to figure out what they're doing. That's the whole thing. I just feel like, again, tanking is one thing. Trying to get the best record is another. We say this in the NFL, where where there's fewer teams even. We overrate seeding. I don't know if that's universally agreed upon. Let's find out what our next guest feels about that. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. He's the co-host of Money Moves, which he does every weekday here after Prop Points on the network with Stormy Bonatoni. And, of course, he's part of the whole Hardwood Handicappers crew as well. When he, like Kelly Bidlin, feels like showing up for Hardwood Handicappers these days. It's Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
You know, there's a couple of things. First off, what would be the word that you mistake juice for? I don't think we have to answer that on the air. The second
that's the joke, John. You know, that's the joke. That's right.
Other one is, why would you know that, Gil? The other is, Zach the other day made a comment on his podcast where he said, you know, I'm constantly getting the times wrong with these guys joining me. Zach, I canceled one time. Like one time, brother. I had to move
such
the
a
time.
Rep, you got
and
such
then
a
he's
rep
sitting here
it.
Giving me crap about it. So, yeah, like I'm there all the time on Thursdays. Come on, man.
You know what, JVT? Since we're complaining real quick, I stayed up nice and late to do a guest spot last night with Dustin Sweetelson. And then as soon as I popped on, he power ranked basically the Hardwood Handicappers. And I came in number two behind Jonathan Von Tobel. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I stayed up late to be told I was the second year second favorite person.
Wow. Well.
And then I felt real bad for Zach, who's doing the pod every day.
Yeah. In fairness, Dustin and I do have a somewhat strong relationship outside of work. His newly minted fiance, I believe I was one of the first VEASAN people to meet her. So I think that's probably why I power rate a little bit higher.
Okay.
Do you think girls are happy when we call it newly minted fiance? Do you think they enjoy that phrasing? I wonder. I don't know.
Is there something negative that she's not watching? Although I think one of her brothers like watches every day. So
I've met her. She's lovely, by the way. Congratulations to the both of them. All right, what about seeding, John? Is that a thing or not a thing? Do we overrate that?
I mean, I think it's great for your lawn, but from a playoff standpoint, I think it really just does depend on what you're looking at from the standpoint of who you want to avoid, who you think you match up well against. I think in the NBA, it does matter to an extent. You know, for example, what side of the bracket do you want to fall on? Do you want to avoid a second round series with the Oklahoma City Thunder, for example? I don't know, though, if I am, you know, pulling out all of the stops to manifest what my seed is going to be down the stretch of a regular season, because there's so many different variables. I don't think it's really ultimately worth it. So I guess that's a roundabout way of saying, like, I think I pretty much agree with you guys. You know, if you want to try to gun for seeding, the only thing that matters in the NBA is being inside of the top six. You don't want to have to play a one-off, yeah. Or I guess if you're in the top of the play-in, you don't want to have to rely on winning one and done type situations to get in. So the only seeding that I think truly would be at the top of the list is finishing inside of the top six of the NBA, and then you let the chips fall where they may.
I'm with you. That's my hunch. I think we tend to overrate it based on how a team views otherwise, even though obviously there's benefits to doing it.
I'll add, you know, so a few years ago when the Clippers were actually okay, you know, there was it was when the Suns had a really strong season, and there was a lot of people going into the final game of the regular season saying, why isn't this team scoreboard watching and tanking to get out of that series with the Suns? And it was like, well, first off, you're talking about, it's not like the NFL where it's play is stagnant and you can really watch plays and, you know, see and scoreboard watch. Like, the team's going like 10-0 runs in the blink of an eye. You have no idea what's going to happen. And then, by the way, the Clippers went out in one game, one of that series. And as I say, they would have totally won that series if Kawhi didn't get hurt, but whatever.
Not that he's lingering on that or anything. We're going to talk about Final Four, but since we're here, do you have anything in the NBA tonight? Have you played anything?
Not really. Today's cards kind of sucks. I mean, if we're being quite honest, like, you know, I'm one that thinks that a lot of people are doing a little too much. Like, my favorite thing is the people that tell you they don't watch the NBA all of a sudden become experts on the value of the product and how well it is going over the last few weeks. But having said that, I do think you look at today and you go, holy bleep, like, what in the world am I supposed to look at here? What am I supposed to do with all of these point spreads? I guess I would say if there was one that tempted me, is New Orleans and Sacramento, only because, like, we're getting up to like that 6.5 point range. If it continues to climb, maybe Sacramento, but like, do I want to spend my Friday night sweating out Kings and Pelicans? I think I'll be okay on that one, you know?
Yeah. Okay. To the Final Four. Let's talk about both games, Illinois and UConn. We start with the first of the two, with the Illini favored by 1.5.
Give me Illinois. I'm going to wait to see what's going to happen here. I'm going to be very curious as how this thing is going to get bet. So, like, am I going to get something cheaper on a money line by the time we get to Saturday? My guess would say yes, although I still think $1.30 is perfectly playable from a money line standpoint for the Illini. But, Gil, there's a bunch of different reasons why I do like this for the Illinois squad. The first of which is I just kind of like the simple math battle of I get the team that's going to take a bunch of threes from beyond the arc. They take about 50% of their attempts from deep. I think that's going to help them in a matchup like this. I know a lot of people have brought up the cavernous backdrop and playing in a football arena and all these sort of things. Tom Crean was on the network, had a great answer about that. He's like, look, you're going to get run-throughs in this arena. Like, you're going to be out there. They're going to put the lights up just like it is, all these sort of things. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I would also say the reason why I like Illinois is I kind of like the paint-by-numbers approach in that even if they have an inefficient day, from just a pure makes standpoint, they should still have an edge over UConn, who has not shot the ball particularly well here in this tournament. They're about a 34-35% three-point shooting team on the season with lesser efficiency. So I think that helps Illinois out. They're also really big. They can match up front. They at least should not get destroyed by Terrace Reed like he has been doing to almost every single one of these opponents up to this point right now. And I also think that while Hurley deserves all the credit in the world for being such a great coach, I also think that we probably shouldn't throw Brad Underwood out. I mean, Underwood's a pretty good coach in his own right and has proven to be pretty formidable in that regard. So to me, it's Illinois. And, I see you throwing this up right now. Circa's got minus 125 on the money line. I guess that with UConn being a pretty public dog, if you will, you might get something cheaper on the money line. So I will be on Illinois money line on Saturday, just waiting to see what the low point's going to be there.
All right. What about Michigan and Arizona? The Wolverines, after initial open, where Arizona, initial open being redundant, but when Arizona was a 1.5-point favorite, quickly went to Michigan as a 1.5-point favorite. It has stayed there the whole way through. This total way higher, 157.5. And keep in mind, John, we are tied with you in points for the bracket challenge, so we're listening intently.
Oh, I forgot about that. Are we tied? I thought I was like in second or something like that. Either way, pushes should be worth half points in contests going forward. Yep. I will just state that.
Yeah, we agree.
Everybody agrees.
Yeah. But anyway, for this is a stick to my guns play, guys. Like, I've been, and this is not anything, crazy. I have said that Arizona is the best team in the country for a long time now. In my bracket and before the tournament started, they were my national champion selection. I see no reason the way they've played up to this point to come off of that against Michigan. Burries is awesome. Their leading scorer. He's really come along here. Same thing with Coe Pete. The two young guys are absolutely tremendous. If Michigan's going to turn the ball over like they have a penchant for doing, then this is a great situation for Arizona, who loves to get out and run, is very athletic. The one thing that does worry me is, as we were kind of talking about with Illinois, they only take about a quarter of their attempts from three. So if they do, for some reason, get bit by this bug of playing in that arena, well, that's really bad for a team that doesn't take a ton. But either way, I think Arizona is just the best team in the country. And I think they're very athletic. They got the size defensively to match up with Michigan, too. I refuse to budge here on my thought that Arizona is going to win this whole thing. So we go Wildcats.
Yes, you are a point behind both primetime numbers game and prop points. Just to clarify, okay. Money
That's
moves.
Fourth place.
In the Circa College Hoops Challenge, though, JVT, you are only 3 points behind the lead. You got a shot in that?
I think I do. I mean, I guess technically I would have to go. So we only have 3 picks left, though. That's the problem. So, like, I would have to go, 3-0, and then I may or may not have submitted my tiebreaker. I probably won't be able to win this thing. Yeah. That's my bad. I mean, in fairness, our tiebreaker was our Final Four, which is published in the college basketball or NCAA March Madness betting guide. So, like, I don't know why I have to re-email it to Matt Eubanks for it to count, but I guess it will.
Christmas Cerro, by the way, in a tie with Paul Stone atop the Circa College Hoops Challenge, the Eubanks Invitational. If you will, JVT, three points back. And then real quick, just to clarify, then winning it all, you have?
I'll go with Arizona, although I'll say really quickly, a lot of people keep going, this is the national championship. It's kind of tough. If this is a war that we expect it to be, and then you just get a day off to go play on Monday, like, I don't know if that's just going to be a chalk it up to the winner here. So I'll be interested to see how Monday looks. But yes, Arizona for me.
I agree. We're all too premature on that.
That's a great point, too. It's that kind of physical battle, right? You only get a day off.
I make a lot of great points.
Man, that's why you're number one, man.
Sorry, Jonathan Montobel. I make great points. That's his little subtitle. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, as always.
See you guys in a little bit.
Money moves coming up after prop points here on the show. JBT will be in the host chair today. Let's do Are We Sure? Next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game brought to you by ProfitX. If you're not on ProfitX yet, Masters Week's the perfect time to start. New users get a sign-up bonus up to $100 in bonus cash just for getting started with promo code VSiNMM. And next week, ProfitX dropping their Masters of Your Domain contest. During the Masters, make one play, $50 or more, on any Masters market, win or lose, and earn an entry to win a $1,000 golf prize of your choice. Now, you get a choice of three. I'm going to go with this first one, if it were me. $1,000 round of golf. Bam! That's the one I'd choose. But you could also choose $1,000 club of your choice, $1,000 gift card, any golf apparel brand. Win or lose on your play, you're still in the running. Download the ProfitX app. Use promo code VSINMM, as in March Madness. Make your first purchase. Earn that bonus and get in on the action at Augusta. Download ProfitX today. Use promo code VSINMM. We get tweets. Beat of the book. Always appreciate the feedback. Stringfellow Hawk, who is your top five rappers of all time, Gil? Oh, held me to the, taking me to task on it. Not taking me to task, but since you got to choose. I'm old school. I'll go Tupac. I'll put Tupac in there for sure. Curtis Blow, Kool Moe Dee, Houdini, number one with a bullet, though, as always, Public Enemy. There you go. Mike Zills, Duke 90. Have a prosperous weekend, men. He's got a ticket that he's got. What's his ticket here? He's trying to collect big money, although it's all faded. Your ticket's all faded, though, Mike Zills. I can't see what you have, but I can see it's to win big money. Kelly's got his laptop up to his face. Show Kelly right now. This is what Kelly's trying to figure out, your ticket right here. Can we show Kelly, guys? There we go. There he is. Yeah, can't really tell. And Corbin, morning, fellas. You know that saying, don't hate the player, hate the game? Well, betting anything in the NBA, especially Tech Blues, is really making me hate both the player and the game. Last couple weeks have been no bueno for all our Spanish listeners on ANG. Yeah, the Tech Blues have, the whole thing's been one giant waste of time. We're just kind of sitting in the middle. Total wash. Because all these teams have sprinkled their wins just enough to take back our gains at the top there. So there's that.
Here's what I think I can read from this ticket.
It's to win like six figures, right?
First of all, that, yeah.
Yeah.
But he bet the yes on something. That's 16 to 1.
I hope the yes cashes for you, Mike Zills.
Go yes.
Where have you been keeping that ticket in your wallet the whole time? Can't read it. All right. Do we recap the bets? You want to do Are We Sure first?
Are we sure? We'll do I'm Coming Back Later for bets.
Oh, let's do it. Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros.
You think you know what's going on in the sports betting world?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Gil and Kelly tackle the hard-hitting questions on another exciting edition of Are We Sure?
See, the camera lingered on me, and I gave her one of these. I was like, Are We Sure, Kelly? I have not seen these. What do you got?
Darno likes to keep you on camera, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're a good-looking guy.
Let's go.
Are we sure Arizona and Michigan should be co-favorites to win the NCAA tournament?
Yes, we are sure about that. The formula says so as well.
Even though Michigan's a 1.5-point favorite in the game?
Well, you're saying they're co-favorites, meaning they're favorites over the other two teams, I think that means. Oh, you're saying they're co-favorites just in the betting market here? Yeah, I do. Because I'm on Arizona. In Survivor,
yeah.
So I kind of like.
I've definitely kind of moved that way. To
I
the
feel
Arizona
like it's a total coin flip.
I don't
to me.
Think. By the way, though, I don't think I'm betting it pregame. I don't think. No. If I get an opportunity on Arizona in game, I think I will jump in then.
Here's just two guys that were on the show this week. Dallin today, Dallin Cuff, Tim Murray yesterday. Both of them said about that Michigan Arizona game. It's the Spider-Man meme. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. For anybody who doesn't know the Spider-Man meme, two Spider-Mans just pointing at each other, wanting to spin their web at each other.
Are we sure Lindenberg should be the favorite to win most outstanding player of the tournament?
Yes, because between the two teams, Michigan and Arizona, he is the clear favorite on Michigan, whereas Arizona, it's sprayed between Burries, Bradley, Pete, and maybe even Karchenko.
Yeah, I like the UConn point. Of betting both those guys. If you like UConn for the futures,
yep.
Go
I said it. We said it very quickly. This, but the most points, I really believe in Caravan 16-1. If you think UConn's beating Illinois, that to me is the bet.
I like it
because most points
that
again,
market's way more interesting to me than
most
this.
Points. You don't have to win the title,
right?
Most outstanding player, you got to win the title again. Not since Hakeem Olajuwon in '83 has a player from a losing team won most outstanding player. But two games of most points, just total points. Two games. Just figure out who's going to play twice.
I might mess around with a bet or two in this one, actually. Yeah. Put a little fun this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, are we sure DeBanza will be the first pick in the draft?
I'm not. I have no idea. I don't. I mean, this was not a great tournament for lottery picks.
Yeah,
DeBanza was
bounced early.
DeBanza got bounced early.
Peterson
didn't look great.
Right?
Acuff, for all the hype, is still a small guard.
I read JVT sent me a draft preview article that ESPN did.
Yeah.
I could have written it. I couldn't believe I read the whole thing and didn't learn like anything.
Yeah.
I didn't learn anything.
I'm not sure, though. I have no idea.
It had some quotes from some of the NBA front office people, though, that it was split, as we've talked all season long, of like, hey, you're probably going to bet on the upside ability of DeBanza. That's probably who you're going with number one. And yeah. Then, of course, you heard you heard from others that were like, Peterson's the most skilled player in this draft. Like, he's probably, but there are concerns.
But it's also team dependent. We have no idea who's getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are we sure Scottie Scheffler should be the favorite to win the Masters?
I am.
Struggled, Gil. He's struggling.
Is his name Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah. Dude, he should still be the favorite.
Yep.
This is going to be fascinating. I was talking to Dave Ross a little bit about this right before the show. Watch futures markets this weekend for how John Rahm and Rory McIlroy stack up. And I guess Bryson, too. Rahm and DeChambeau are coming in, especially Rahm, coming in very, very good form on LIV. He has not had worse than a fifth-place finish, I think, so far this year. I think it's 1-2 in every tournament except for, like, one. Rahm is going to be a very popular bet and name that you're going to hear next week. But he's out of sight, out of mind on LIV. So just something worth bringing up here. Are we sure the Boston Celtics are the best team in the Eastern Conference?
I am. I'm 100%. I mean, am I 100% sure? No, but I'm pretty resolute in that.
Yeah,
I think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference.
I think right now, I would say that. I still think it's pretty wide open once we get into the playoffs. But they are the deserved favorites. They are the best team. Right,
you beating them 4 out of 7? That's the thing. Are you beating them 4 out of 7? I don't know that I would trust any of those other teams to beat them 4 out of 7.
Are we sure the Thunder are the best team in the Western Conference?
Nope. Quick no. We are absolutely not sure. And by the way, if anyone is sure about that, you're being ridiculous. Because the Spurs dominated them this year head-to-head. And I'll say it again. What was my reaction? What was the exact thing I thought and made me make all those bets early on about the Spurs to win it all and the Spurs against the Celtics in the NBA Finals? That first game between the Spurs and the Thunder was nip and tuck. And the line was, I'm way more confident in the Spurs on the offensive end of the court than I am with the Thunder. And you will feel that way when you watch these two teams play in a playoff series. I promise you will. So, no, I don't think the Thunder are the best team.
Yeah. That was the alley for the Gil loop.
That was one of those where I took it. And not, I didn't just put it in. I rotated in my right hand. Like, I did a couple windmills.
Yeah. This is me writing these this morning, by the way, where I'm like, serious question, the Celtics. And then I'm like, man, an alley-oop here for Gil on the
double,
Thunder.
Double windmill jam while pointing at Kelly.
All right, I'm going to skip the next two since we got a straw poll on both of them. We kind of already had this discussion. Over to baseball. Are we sure Paul Skeens will be in the mix for Cy Young?
Yes.
He's been awful. Just awful, Gil.
Yes, he'll be in the mix.
We talked about it lightly the other day. Do you think it's worth a bet right now?
Skeens?
Yeah,
yes, I
like,
do.
He's like,
at plus 350?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Like, I think I saw 4-1 yesterday somewhere. Like, that is okay.
He'll be in the mix. Who you trust more?
No, Skeens. Like, Skeens I trust the most. Yeah. That's why I'm asking. I actually think I might bet that here this weekend.
In the mix is broad enough where I can feel confident about it.
Danny really gunning for my job now, putting in one of these names. Are we sure Cam Schlittler can be in the mix for AL Cy Young?
Well done. Well navigated.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Once again, it's an in-the-mix question.
It's an in-the-mix question.
It's
in
the mix. Yes, he will be in the mix. In the mix is broad here. Do I think he is a possible contender? Absolutely, I do. In the mix, it depends on what your definition of mix is. Mix.
We like to leave it open-ended for you. You know?
Yeah, he'll be in the mix. I mean, it's a great start to it. Doesn't Humans have him at some ridiculous number? Is it Humans or Matt Brown? One of the Mats. Humans does. Humans has him at triple figures, right?
Nice.
Cam Schlittler, Kelly.
Yes.
Schlittler.
Names I am terrified to say on air.
22-1 currently in the AL Cy Young market. I think he will be in the mix. But, you know, it's Scooble and Crochet still. You still got to get through that wall.
Old Tarek.
That's why you're not any shorter than 22-1. Schlittler.
So now you just need tested fate now, man.
I just want to see if you'll jump on and mess it up.
Nope, don't want to.
I still got Mackenzie Gore preflop. He's right there, 35-1. I'm looking at you, Mackenzie Gore. Do your thing. We'll come back. Steve Fezzik. Fezzik Fridays on the other side. Then Kelly will join us after that. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.